The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Why can't you trust Adams? Because they make up everything.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio and also a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, and this is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us at Twitter at Weird Medicine, at Lady Diagnosis, and at Dr. Scott WM, and visit our website at weirdmedicine.com or drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy, or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, yoga master, physical therapist, or whatever. All right, very good. So we're on vacation. It's my kids' spring break. So I thought what I would do this week is do something we haven't done in a long time, is go way back to the very beginning. And I'm going to play you two extended segments. I hope they're not too boring. First is going to be the first time that I was ever on Opie and Anthony live in studio, and that was, I believe, October 11th or 12th of 2007. And P.A. John and I went up there to do our show. We were supposed to do 90 minutes on Saturday night, and we just thought we were going to sit on the bleachers and watch them do the show, and next thing we knew, they were calling me in the studio to talk, and I was petrified. And I mean, I was a radio, television, motion pictures major in college, and I did some college radio. But, you know, at that time, particularly Opie and Anthony were radio gods to us. And it was really, you know, those were by far happier days, no question about it. But that was the show, and there was no other show that came close to it on satellite radio. And they were the number one show on XM and they were eating Sirius's lunch at that time. And it was a very happy time and loads of fun. And here is and it is it's an extended bit. And then after that will be the first hour of the very first Weird Medicine show that was ever done with P.A. John and me, with Danny Ross as the producer. E-Rock was supposed to be our first guest, and we had so many phone calls that we had to bump him. And that caused quite a lot of merriment in the studio. You know, hey, Dr. Steve's here, his very first show. He bumped E-Rock. So, but and then that's it. And we'll just do that, and that'll be it for this week. But it might be kind of fun to go back and listen to some of that stuff. I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Please go to stuff.drsteve.com. Scroll down. You can see all the things we talk about on the show. You can click through and go to Amazon. Don't forget tweakedaudio.com. That's tweaked audio, T-W-E-A-K-E-D, audio.com. Offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, for 33% off the best earbuds on the market for the price and the best customer service anywhere. And if you're interested in going back to hearing other more archives of our show going way back, go to premium.drsteve.com for $1.99 a month. You have full access. And I highly recommend that you do that using the app that you can get at the iTunes store, at the App Store, or at Google Play. But I'll leave that up to you. You can do it online. It's just a little bit trickier. If you have any problems, email me. All right, and here we go.
This is the best of Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
Hey, we got, I got to tell you, like, we have a lot of people that stop by and say hi. And in between commercials during the other side of the show, Anthony and Jimmy ran off to meet Dr. Steve. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, these guys never run off to meet anybody.
No.
But Dr. Steve is in-house, and you guys ran off to say hi to him.
Dr. We love Steve. Dr. Steve is legendary.
Absolutely. Yes. Who else can I call and ask chlamydia and hepatitis questions to? Is it normal when I piss that I have to fucking grab the little, what are they called?
The towel rack?
No, it should be joke books and fucking read them before I start talking. Fucking cocksucker I am. How do I get paid to talk for a living and grab the, I can't pull pipes out of thin air. God, what a fucking... Hey, Dr. Steve, do you have any fucking talent pills you can prescribe for me? What a fucking asshole I am.
Well, we'll talk to Dr. Steve next. We got to take a break right now. I just found out because we got Mark Wahlberg calling right at 9:45. So we should break right now so we can get him on the phone after the break. Okay.
Right.
So we'll do the Dr. Steve thing. We got a nice live audience today.
Yes, we do.
Not bad.
There they are.
Hanging out on the bleachers. We'll talk to them. Anybody have a medical question for Dr. Steve?
You got anyone got a problem?
You want to hand out like some paper and pens and see if they got something they want to anonymously ask Dr. Steve? Let's do that. Danny's working the crowd right now. So we'll do. You want to bring in Dr. Steve?
I certainly do.
Dr. Steve's doing a show on 202 tomorrow night. He's teaming up with what? Big Kev? Like Big Kev's doing an hour and then Dr. Steve's doing an hour?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
There you go. Take the noisy chair. I love how the wheels on these chairs just go round and round. They're very noisy on the wooden floor.
What's up, Dr. Steve?
Hello. I'm just going to do this the whole segment.
Oh, I love this.
You know, you guys...
it's like a Ouija board chair.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're all doing it. This is radio? What the hell?
Now, this is compelling radio.
Yeah, do this on your show.
Yeah.
We're the pros. We're showing you how to do it. Just move your chair around a lot.
You are the professionals.
It's a time waster. Well, you got a nice set of pipes, though, for the air.
Thanks.
You got a good radio voice.
Thank you, my friend.
Dr. Steve, whose greatest quality is that he can keep a secret.
He's got secrets on every single person in the studio.
I've got files on everyone in the studio.
He could write a book, yes. I'm sure.
He already has. Not about us, but he's really...
One with, you know, very unethical book about people, because he's supposed to be confidential.
That's right.
So what is your stupid radio show going to be about?
Jesus. Well, the stupid radio show is called Weird Medicine.
Weird Medicine, okay.
We're doing it at 10:30 on Saturday on the Saturday Night
Virus. Is it going to be better than Fan and Sam?
That's hard to say. I've never actually heard Thad and Sam.
Oh, God.
I actually never heard of Thad and Sam.
But I have...
Weird Medicine with Dr. Stewie.
Will it be better than Musical Adventure Hour?
Yeah, that's pretty good, definitely.
Explain further, though. Weird Medicine, what do you mean?
Well, we're going to...
Like rubbing shit on your skin and stuff?
Rubbing shit on your skin?
What? I think the average... I've seen your fans.
Yeah.
And we've seen our fans, too.
So you're going to do a weight loss show.
I think that health isn't always the number one priority.
True.
With some of your fans. So we're going to work on that a little bit. And yeah, we may do some weight loss. I've actually got a segment on why being fat can save your life. So that
really?
Might be encouraging for some of your listeners.
Now wait, how does that get followed up? Like if you hit by a
boring.
Bus.
Boring.
Would you be nice
if
to Dr.
Being
Steve?
Being fat can save your life. I would like to know. Could you give a hint as to how?
Well, I was going
to
save it for the show. But
yeah, that's true. It's a tease.
Have you done radio
in the past? You got good mic technique. You got the good voice.
You know, it doesn't count what I did. I did college radio 30 years ago.
College radio 30 years ago.
We need him to cut some stuff for us.
He's a prescription for good radio.
That's right.
That's what I like to say.
That's something some hack like PD would come up with. Why don't we say he's your prescription? Oh,
the doctor is in.
Yeah.
6 to 10.
Shut up.
Well, we got people calling in with their weird shit already. We got Jason in Jersey. But this is the show you're going to do tomorrow night, right?
Right.
But might as well do it now when people are actually
out
listening. Jason. Jason, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Hey. Thanks, Danny, for looking for that.
Dr.
Yes, Jason.
Steve, I have a serious question for you. I'm not making a bit. Sometimes when I'm taking a dump, I'll come. I'll ejaculate. Like, not, I won't be hard or anything.
Excuse me, right there. Stop. No disrespect, sir. I don't even need the doctor. I know what your problem is. You're German.
Wow.
Seriously, is that a problem?
Why would it be a problem?
Yeah, it depends on where you live.
Yeah, it depends on how many times you're moving your bowels every day.
Yeah.
But
it happens every once in a while.
Dr. Steve, if I may?
Yes.
I believe this has to do with his prostate being stimulated as he is defecating.
You stole my thunder, Anthony.
I just want to see if I can compete with the doctor, with the good doctor.
Absolutely. You know, a urologist can actually induce ejaculation by sticking their finger up your rear end and massaging
prostate. Sure,
don't have to tell me. Yeah.
And why wouldn't they?
I've made him have to change that wax paper on the counter quite a few times.
Oh, wait. Are you one of those doctors that have to stick the fingers up the poop chute?
I have done that.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Can you do one of those today?
Absolutely.
Dude.
Hey, rubber gloves.
I know you're
rubber,
not.
Well, look at him. Rubber gloves.
Where's Pat from Tennessee?
Where's Pat Duffy? Let's see how brave Pat Duffy really is.
Oh, my God.
It's an actual physical. Where's Pat Duffy?
It would be a physical.
You would actually do this right now?
What are you feeling for?
He's a doctor.
Sure. He's a real doctor. Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, I can't practice in the state of New York.
You're not practicing. You just feel you're being silly.
What do you feel for in a prostate? When you stick your finger up there, you're obviously feeling through the intestine or the lower, the rectum.
Right.
What are you feeling for when you feel a prostate?
Well, the trick is that you feel a bunch of normal prostates.
I'm amazing, man.
Every day in and day out, and then you start to recognize the abnormal prostate.
Because you got
to
do this pretty quickly, I noticed.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be sitting there for a while with your finger up some guy's ass going, I don't know, let me check this side and that.
Unless you're my doctor.
You go in.
Fuck.
So you go in pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
Give a little feel.
Right to left. Left to right. Up and down.
And what does it feel like?
It's like a rubbery walnut.
The size of a walnut.
About the size of a walnut.
It's supposed to be, anyway. And rubbery. And then what would they feel? Is it like maybe bumpy isn't good, obviously?
Right. Bumpy is not
swollen.
Good. Enlarged is not good.
And would it be hard if it was cancerous or something?
Sometimes. It could be woody.
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 Wow. I have a medical question for Dr. Steve.
Yes. All right.
And this has been bugging me. I have at times the inside of my ear itches.
Yes.
Like everyone gets an itchy ear, but I mean a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm terrified that it's because there's cancer. cancer knitting itself through my skull.
Wow. Usually cancer wouldn't just itch. But the thing to do is, I mean, I know you have a doctor. Have them look in there. If they don't see anything, a little cortisone on a... they actually make a cortisone eardrop that you can drop in your ear, and that'll get rid of it.
You think
absolutely.
So? You don't think it's any serious?
Is it seasonal?
I don't know.
Is it worse in the spring and fall?
I don't know. It's been happening, but not for that long.
Are you very waxy?
Could it be waxy?
Are you waxy?
You're a bit waxy. If you're waxy.
Do you notice a lot of ear wax?
No. An ear kit. You could buy a little ear kit at Dwayne Reed. It's called a murine ear kit, and you can lavage out your ear with this solution. Ooh. And then if it's wax, that'll get rid of it.
Hey, you don't think it's anything serious?
I don't think so, but you know, I'd have to.
Hey,
look
those
in your
kits
ear to
that
say.
You find for cleaning out your ear—that's something that's worthwhile to do.
Yeah, it's a lot better than shoving Q-tips in your ear.
Yeah, because you're just packing the
right exactly
the peanut butter.
Right.
See, I don't like the Q-tip thing. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
So I get out of the shower. I take a piece of tissue.
Yeah.
I kind of roll it up a little so it's bigger than a Q-tip, but not shove it in there so all the wax gets a pushback. But just kind of let it dab in there, and sometimes you pull out a little surprise.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well,
put it on a Ritz cracker.
Oh yeah,
delicious.
I'm not being a douche to you, am I?
No, right. Absolutely not.
See,
you're my little pal.
I'm being called a fuckhead.
Who's? Are you serious?
Oh.
Because I'm like,
because you did the boring
thing.
It says,
hey, stop being a fuckhead,
probably,
to Dr. Steve.
Yeah.
You douche. We're just. This is how we show love on this show.
Exactly.
Is it?
We love Dr. Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, cue his music.
Oh my God!
What? Oh,
well, I thought that was
his deep
joke,
voice.
No.
Okay,
I got it.
His name is Pat Duffy. Oh. There he is.
Actually, I got a comment here. He sounds like Adam West.
Adam West?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Batman.
Lucky
the original Batman.
Catwoman.
Wow. He does impressions while he's got a finger in your ass.
That's right. He does these impersonations, and if you're not coming from the prostate, you think he was the real people.
You know what? I think for the first time I'm gonna listen to 202 on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Tim.
Oh.
Lightsaber noises.
This is the best of Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
Good evening, everybody. Are we on? And welcome to Weird Medicine. I'm Dr. Steve, Doctor to the Stars, and sitting to my right is P.A. John.
Hello.
And for the next 90 minutes, you're going to hear a medical show that's a little different from others. It's a medical show for people who would never listen to a medical show. A lot of the listeners of this channel are men, and I think it's fair to say, P.A. John, that their health has not always been the highest priority.
No, I don't.
Men's health has largely been ignored by the media for years, so we're not going to change that, but we're going to put a dent in it, I think. Also, tonight we have a special celebrity guest in the second segment, so you want to stay around for that. So let's get into it. Give us a call at 866-WOW1WOW. That's 866-969-1969 for those who can't spell WOW. We'll answer any questions we can. If you're too shy to call, give us a call or email us at drsteve202@gmail.com. That's drsteve202@gmail.com. And if we run out of stuff to talk about, I was a cameraman for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling.
That's
in
awesome.
The 70s. I knew all those guys, Ric Flair, Blackjack Mulligan, Rufus R. Jones, Wahoo McDaniel. We'll turn this into Wrestling Corner with Dr. Steve if we have to.
Maybe we should just start with that.
It might not be a bad idea, considering how the opening went.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few emails from listeners that were emailed to us prior to the show. I thought we could start with one of those, John.
Sounds good.
This is one from a listener that is anonymous. Dear Dr. Steve, my wife has a horrendous vaginal odor.
Mm.
It's so bad I gag when I get close to it, and it's put me off eating fish forever.
Ooh.
What could be causing this? Now, I just want to say right here, at the beginning, not 30 seconds ago, I said we were going to be doing men's health, and then, of course, we're going right into the old cliche vaginal odor jokes.
Yeah, but you can still come back to the men's health, because if you do have a vaginal odor that horrendous, maybe you're going to have impotency or something.
Well, yeah, maybe. Who knows? But, you know, this was sent in by a guy, so this is, I guess this could be classified as a men's issue. But, you know, every woman has a different odor, but sometimes there's a problem. And what you want to do is look for reversible causes.
causes. You know, if a woman has, and let's talk about things that this probably isn't. First, we'll talk about common vaginal problems. If you have a cottage cheese discharge, and I'm never real big on the food analogies when it comes to things like this, but a cottage cheese discharge is probably yeast. You could buy yeast medication over the counter, like Monistat. If you have a problem that persists, see your doctor. This usually causes kind of a yeasty, musty smell, not a fishy smell, though.
Yeah.
A yellow custardy discharge.
Ugh. It looks like maybe creme brulee or something.
Another food analogy and another food I won't eat anytime soon. Is almost always a parasite called Trichomonas. And this is something that needs immediate treatment with an antibiotic. And all the person's sexual partners need to be treated. So this you got to see your doctor for. But if you have a clear or no discharge, but with a fishy odor, this is almost always a thing called bacterial vaginosis. Now, this is you have good bacteria and you got bad bacteria that are normal inhabitants of the female anatomy. And this is just like if you had a pond and all the trout died and all that were left were carp. And this is basically the analogy that I would use for this is you're ending up with a vagina full of bad bacteria.
Or and, a vagina full of carp.
Well, yeah, great. Thanks. When you get this kind of mass kill of beneficial bacteria, which are called lactobacillus, you can detect this by doing what's called a KOH or a whiff test. This is done in the doctor's office. They take a sample of fluid, add a little potassium hydroxide, which is a chemical, and then they actually take it out into the lab, and then they put it up to their nose, and they smell it. Mm-hmm. And if it smells fishy, then you have a positive diagnosis for bacterial vaginosis. Now, this used to be considered a benign disease. It still is mostly benign, but studies recently have shown that women who have bacterial vaginosis have a higher risk of contracting or transmitting HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. So it also increases the risk of premature delivery in pregnant women. So doctors will always test for this early on in a pregnancy. It's really easy to treat with an antibiotic called Flagyl. If you do take Flagyl, you don't want to drink alcohol. Because it causes a reaction. Have you heard of that stuff called antabuse?
Yeah.
Antabuse is a drug that alcoholics can take to dissuade them from drinking, because when they drink and take antabuse, it makes them violently ill. Flagyl has that kind of effect. So don't drink and take that at the same time. In the meantime, for this person, if she can't get to, I mean, this is Saturday night, if she wants to take care of this problem and thinks that she may have bacterial vaginosis, you can try a thing called a yogurt douche.
Now, again, this, another food reference.
Yes, absolutely. We generally, on Weird Medicine, don't recommend douching, but God, in his infinite wisdom, made the same bacteria that makes a healthy vagina also the same stuff that makes yogurt.
Yummy.
Go figure.
Now, does it come in different flavors?
Yes, but always use plain yogurt. Don't use strawberry or blueberry or pineapple mango yogurt.
All right.
Use plain yogurt in a warm water douche or the sort of less appetizing, well, and none of this is very appetizing, but probably the less easy way to do it is to draw it up into a Monistat applicator and insert it once a night for 7 nights. This will overpower the bad bacteria with good bacteria, but at least see your doctor once and make sure that's what this is.
Hmm.
Now, one of the other things that can cause odor is a vaginal foreign body.
Yeah.
And in my practice over the years, I have found this to be not a common problem, but it's not unheard of to have retained condoms in the woman's nether regions. Now, what kind of guy do you have to be to leave a condom behind? You know that if he left it behind, he knew
that it was off
that
at
it was
some
off
point.
At some point. And he's just like, well, I don't know where it is, so I guess it's just gone. It's just disappeared. Yeah, they don't look for it. And then they kind of slink off into the night and go, tee-hee-hee. You know, I pulled a fast one.
Maybe that's how the Immaculate Conception happened.
So, wow. Wow. Already offending 70% of the country. Well done,
wow.
P.A. John.
Wow.
That was P.A. John.
Yeah.
Well, you want to take some phone calls?
Yeah.
Let's see. We have a blowhard from... Here we go. Somewhere. Sorry, everybody. That's Blowhard on line two. Blowhard, you're on Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve and P.A. John.
Buddies, Dr. Steve and physician's assistant. Yeah, I know what that is. John, how you doing, buddies?
Hello, buddy.
Excellent.
What can we do for you?
I first want to say congratulations on being on the air. It's great to hear a doctor on the radio who's not selling green tea extract or colon cleanser.
Well, you haven't heard the whole show yet.
Which leads me to my question. I want to discuss something that's kind of embarrassing to millions of Americans, and that is IBS, irritable bowel syndrome,
yes.
Spastic colon, which basically, left unchecked, leads to explosive shitting.
Wow.
And I was diagnosed about 10 years ago with it, and I know all about how it's, you know, nerves and bad diet and all of the above. My question is, how can you eat healthy without having the spasms and the explosive shitting when at times I eat crap and it goes away? And yet when I eat the healthy vegetables, I do the workout, I lift my weights, etc., my stomach just erupts like a fire hydrant in the South Bronx in July.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the deal with the IBS? Can you just explain a little bit about what is actually happening and how to prevent it, or how to at least stop the symptoms of the shitting?
Are there specific foods, Blowhard, that cause this other than just green leafy vegetables? Things like broccoli, anything like that?
Yeah, well, broccoli is a staple in the diet. And also sometimes maybe one small potato could do it. A salad, like you mentioned, the leafy vegetables. And I know I drink a lot of caffeine. That's my one vice. Well, I guess it is.
Yep.
And I know that being diabetic, I'm dehydrated, and that kind of contributes to it, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But it just seems that whenever I'm doing the right thing and eating, you know, just healthy foods, it aggravates it.
Right.
But if I go out and I eat a small plant or two, it definitely feels better, and there's
sure.
no problem to deal with. Now, I know there's drugs you can take. I've been taking the antispasmodics. I've been, you know, I tried the Valium yeah. route, and it just doesn't
okay.
work. So,
well, there are a couple of things here. Number one, I'd like to make sure that you actually have, that it actually is
irritable bowel
syndrome that's causing this problem, because they're, first off, the problems that you're having are with what are called high residue foods. So lots of fiber and roughage is actually good for you, or felt to be good for you. But things like broccoli and beans and other things like that can actually have what we call insoluble sugars in them. And those can cause explosive diarrhea, separate from irritable bowel syndrome. And the thing that you might try is a medication called Beano, and it has an enzyme in it that actually breaks down these sugars and should slow that down. And I don't know if you've ever tried it.
I've seen it advertised.
Okay, I would give it a try. I really would. It may be that your symptoms are caused by irritable bowel syndrome, but it may actually be something else. It may actually be a reaction to the foods that you're eating rather than spastic colon per se. So I'd give it a try.
All right,
and of course, talk to your doctor. This is for entertainment purposes only.
The Beano thing, and
okay, man.
You guys, good luck, and I hope to hear more of the show in the future. I can listen to you guys for hours.
Okay,
well,
but I like the topic.
Okay.
Thank you, Blowhard.
Hey, thanks, Blowhard. Have a good day. And we've got another
Email
here, P.A. John. It's from a guy who just signs his name P.D., and it says, "Dear Dr. Steve, my wife wants me to have a vasectomy," and then he puts in parentheses, "something stupid about it being less risky for me than for her, and I'm okay with the idea, but will it change the quality or the quantity of my splooge?" Well, actually, you know, vasectomy, we should talk about this, because a lot of men fear vasectomy, and I think there's a lot of misinformation about vasectomy, and actually line six has a vasectomy question, and we will get to that. Just hang on the line. Vasectomy is an office procedure. It's basically just cutting the cord from the testicles to the rest of the body. The cord's called the vas deferens. And cutting off the supply of sperm cells doesn't really change the character of the ejaculation. Sperm's less than 10% of the ejaculate itself. And they're microscopic, minute part of the ejaculate. The rest of the fluid's basically produced in the prostate gland and another place called the seminal vesicles.
Yeah.
You will not be able to detect a difference in your splooge. Let me talk a little bit, because I want to demystify this procedure for a lot of guys. It isn't a fun procedure. You may know, PA John, that I had a vasectomy, and
why would I know that?
Good question. God, I don't know. I was just making conversation.
Actually,
hoping you would say yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's because you told me this.
Exactly, now. I did have a vasectomy, and basically they put you in a position called dorsal lithotomy position. Now, this is a position that all women know, because it's the same position that women are placed in when they have a pap smear. So this is, should we say, a somewhat vulnerable position, and guys aren't used to it. And don't do like I did, which was not shave before you go, because my stupid urologist didn't tell me that you need to shave. And so I'm laying there. He puts me in this position with my feet up in the stirrups and my legs splayed apart. Okay. Yeah. And then he's talking to me. Well, did you enjoy the restaurant the other night? And he takes a Daisy razor and starts dry shaving my nuts. Holy. And I'm like, oh my God. And I had, you know, the white knuckle effect as I'm absolutely just tearing holes in this thing that I'm lying on.
I would
have
had the white testicle effect.
It was unbelievable. Then the worst. So that you can avoid by shaving yourself. The local anesthetic is another interesting thing, in that when they inject you, they inject it right into the vas deferens, which is again the tube coming from the testicle to the rest of the body, and it shares the same nerve supply with the testicle, so it feels like they're sticking the needle into your nut. Now, the great news about this is that it only lasts for about 10 seconds, and then the rest of the procedure is completely pain-free.
Yeah.
Until the anesthetic wears off. Now, my wife will attest to this. Of course, she came in the middle of this thing and sees this guy just covered, with his bloody hands, just talking to me about eating food at a restaurant while he's tying off these tubes inside my scrotum.
Like the guy at the Japanese restaurant, cutting up the food.
It was a little bit like that, I think. At least from my position, I could just sort of see his head and his hands moving around. And so I got up and said, hell, I'm going to work. Yeah, I felt great after it was over. And, they said, no, you got to go home. You got to go home. And it's like, hell no, I know better. You know, I feel great.
Did you have a cigarette after it was over?
No, but an hour later, I actually was really glad that I didn't try to go to work, because it's pretty impressive, the amount of discomfort that you have. Again, not that bad. You just got to take it easy for a couple of days. And then I wore a hard plastic cup for about a week after that, an athletic supporter with a hard plastic cup, which was fun, because I could walk up to people and they'd say, how'd your vasectomy go? And I'd say, wow, you know, I had this really weird reaction to the anesthetic. It made my nuts hard as rocks. And I'd go on the plastic cup, which was more of a visual thing. Anyway,
I saw it.
Your doctor will tell you when to do sperm samples, and they won't be satisfied if they see even one sperm cell. So let's grab line 6 and talk to Kent in Canada. Kent, you're on Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
Hello, Kent.
Kent.
Hello.
Hello, Kent.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, man. What you got?
I had a vasectomy about a week ago.
Yes.
And besides, the right side seems way more bruised than the left side. Is that normal?
It can happen. You know, there are some veins and blood vessels in that area that, can be traumatized by this thing, and you can get a lot of bruising on one side more than the other.
Yeah, well, it also all depends on, exactly like Dr. Steve was saying, where they actually gave the local anesthesia. You know, where they injected may have been more so on that side. They may have gone in on the right with the needle and was just traumatized, like you said, a little bit more. So,
also,
yes,
there seems to be like a lot more swelling on that side. It's almost like, it feels almost like a third testicle at this point.
Yes.
Right about the right one. Again, is that normal?
You may have a little fluid collection there, and
a hematoma or something.
It could be blood. This is what I would do. I'd apply. Are you wearing your athletic supporter like they told you?
this boxer briefs after a week is what he basically told
me. Okay. And then you say, a lot of times when you see this happen, guys didn't follow the instructions completely and did a little bit more than they were supposed to. So I wonder if maybe you were a little more active than you should have been.
Probably.
But if the swelling is still continuing and it's painful...
really painful.
Okay, then I would watch it for a few days, touch bases with your urologist or your family practitioner who did the procedure, and if you get any redness around that area, or if it gets hot or painful to the touch, you need to call even after hours and talk to your urologist, okay?
Okay.
Okay, man.
Thanks, Kent.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Let's see. We've got Patrick in Philly has a question about true remedy for hair loss. Patrick. Didn't mean to steal your thunder. You there, man?
Hi, this is Patrick O'Neill. Did you know that many thousands of people who get minor aches and pains in their muscles or joints use therapeutic mineralized...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Excellent.
That was awesome. Was that the Radio Shark? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Maybe.
Let's talk to Sean in Florida. Sean.
Yes.
Got some sebaceous gland troubles, my brother?
Yes. On my testicles, I have swollen, clogged, sebaceous gland.
Yes. And?
I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
Can you get rid of them, or what do you do?
So you've got sort of a nodular scrotum. Is that what basically you've got? How many nodules is it? I mean, is it like,
I got like 10.
Oh, just 10. Okay. A lot of times a dermatologist can take care of that.
That's
for you.
That's not a lot, apparently, from your reaction. I think 10 would be a lot.
I've seen people that every sebaceous gland on their scrotum is clogged, and they just have these really
scrotum.
Big, lumpy, hard scrotum.
That sounds painful.
It's not, though, usually. Is this painful at all, my friend?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Is it causing any problems in the bedroom? Is your
just psychological.
You're concerned about the appearance?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, a dermatologist can take care of that. I'm not sure that the urologists mess with that.
Yeah, I would say derm.
But I would probably go to a dermatologist and let them unroof those for you. And they will, you know, once they start, it just means that you're prone to it. But if you've only got 10, and how old are you?
32.
Okay, so you've, on average... what does that work out to? One every three years. Yeah, that's not so bad. So if they unroof those for you and get rid of them, you probably won't get that many more before you die.
Okay,
man.
I got a worm that'll come back if I get rid of them.
Yeah, and you probably will get more, but those particular ones won't come back.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling. Here's one. Jay in Tucson. Let's get back to the vasectomy question. Jay.
Yes.
Hello. What can we do for you? You're on Weird Medicine.
My question is this. I had a vasectomy about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and now my wife is thinking that I should go and have it reversed, and I was wondering about how complex is that procedure and how painful, how long is it going to take?
Okay. I'm not an expert on reversing vasectomies, but I do know that most of the guys that do vasectomies tell people to not count on them being able to reverse it. The human body is an amazing thing. A lot of people who don't want their vasectomies reversed, they will reverse spontaneously because if you put two pieces of vas deferens in the same room, they will try to grow together. But it is a microsurgical procedure, and it'll cost you a lot more than having the vasectomy did to reverse it. And it's not a procedure that's guaranteed to work. You may talk to your fertility specialist about other ways to get sperm out of your body and into your wife's body other than reversing your vasectomy. There are some things out there that some centers will do, but you can try the reversal. I just don't count on it working, okay?
All right.
Yeah, and I can't give you the exact
percentages
on that. But I'll tell you what, I'd look it up for you. Just email me sometime at drsteve202@gmail.com, and I'll see if I can get you some statistics on that, okay? All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck with it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Well, John, we've been talking a lot about testicles already. Yeah. In the first segment. Why don't we talk a little bit about testicular cancer? I think that we can save... How many listeners you figure we have, Danny, tonight?
Four.
No, I'm way more than that. On any given Saturday, I'd say you have... probably got $100,000 on you.
Okay. Wow. Okay, now I'm nervous. I was sort of imagining we were talking to about 15 people out there. Then we will save a considerable number of lives tonight.
Yes.
Because testicular cancer, this is one of my issues, is that men's health is often, it's not really swept under the rug. It's just not talked about. Every woman, by the time they're 18, knows that they need to get a pap smear.
And breast exams.
And every woman knows that they need to do self-breast exams. Mm-hmm. How many guys who are young, 15-year-olds, know that they need to be doing self-testicular exams? You know, that was one of the things. We kind of joked around with Pat Duffy the other day and basically humiliated him in the studio in front of his friends. But, you know, one of the things that we did was a testicular exam on him. Yes. Because he is in the demographic that it would be affected by that. Young men have a higher risk of testicular cancer. This is not an old man's disease. It's the most common cancer between the ages of 20 to 34. And... men with undescended testicles, if you have only one testicle in your scrotum, you have a much higher risk of testicular cancer. And if that's never been taken care of, I want you to go to your doctor and say, look, I've got an undescended testicle. I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
But this is what I want everybody to do. Every guy that's listening right now, and I know we've got women listening, every guy needs to reach down and feel their nuts. Now, while you're doing this, the testicle should feel sort of like
a walnut?
An ovoid, an oblate spheroid is the term for it. But it should just feel like a smooth sort of elongated egg.
A large
thing.
Lima bean.
And on the exactly.
I love
another,
the food
another
references.
Another food reference.
Yeah.
Another thing I won't ever have to eat. The testicle feels smooth on the front, but if you reach around at the top with your finger like a C-clamp and with your thumb, you will feel this sort of mushy area, and that is the epididymis. Above that, there's a tender area that may be a little cyst on the epididymis, and then above that will be the cord. And now, if you feel anything rocky that feels like a stone or
gravel,
a piece of like a aquarium gravel
yeah.
that's stuck to to the testicle, you need to get that checked out. And I, when I was in Vermont, I had a, I always talked about testicular exams with you know, the young men, especially if I did football physicals. I would get a bunch of them at once, right, and make sure I told them about it. And I had a kid come in and say, you know, hey, Dr. Steve, you told me to check my nuts, and I did, and I've got a place on there. And he actually had testicular cancer. It was removed. He was cured, and he is, as far as I know, still doing well today. So caught early, it's very curable. Other things you may feel in there, you want to take that, PA John?
No.
Okay. You may feel a hard balloon-like thing above the testicle, and right, if you take a flashlight and put it behind your scrotum and you can see that it's a clear fluid-filled sac, that is called a hydrocele. And you also can feel a bag of worms, and that is a varicocele, which is just varicose veins above the scrotum. If you have a big old globby bag of worms on both sides, you may actually be have problems with fertility, and so that needs to be checked out as well. So if you feel anything unusual, have it checked out by your doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, you do self-testicular exams?
Yes, I do.
You do?
As a matter of fact.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, every 6 months.
Let's see what we got. Okay, how about Todd in Tennessee? Oh, another vasectomy question. This is going to be vasectomy with Dr. Steve tonight. Todd in Tennessee. Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Todd.
Dr. Steve.
Hello. What can we do for you?
Well, I recently had a vasectomy, and in fact, the stitches aren't quite healed up yet, and I've got sort of under the right stitches, I've got this little blob. It's almost like a little growing third nut, but it gets kind of pussy, and it leaks out like this clear whitish discharge thing. And, you know, obviously I need to go see my doctor about it, but it's kind of painful.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there anything I can do to alleviate that pain until I can see my doctor?
Is the redness around it?
Yeah, it's pretty red, but I mean, they're kind of red anyway, so.
Okay, but it's not angry red.
No.
Okay.
No, it's.
And what's the size of it?
Right now, see, that's the thing. It'll grow up and then it'll discharge a little bit. Right now, you know, it's the size of a cashew nut, but it'll get up. You know, there's one more food you don't have to eat.
Yeah, thank you.
But it'll get up, twice that size sometimes before it, you know, usually it'll just squirt out the stitches. And
lovely.
Good sound effects.
Is it pus, or does it look like it's
clear?
It's clear whitish.
I mean, it looks like pus to me, but I'm not a doctor.
Yep,
you know, it's white,
yellow or white,
clear, and you know, it could be pus, could be splooge. I don't know.
Yeah, white and clear. That could be a thing called a spermatocele. It's not impossible that you could have a collection of fluid that's actually coming from the testicle itself. Most of the time, you just have cells there, but every once in a while, they'll irritate the tube enough that you'll get a collection of fluid in there, and that may actually be
secreting from the area.
Yeah, it could be sperm cells and body fluid. So you definitely got to check it out. I recommend that you get some, you know, your athletic supporter, elevate those nuts so they're not hanging, and putting tension on this thing, and then put some ice on it as well.
Yeah, you definitely need to get back.
Angry.
Definitely need to get back to whoever it was that did the procedure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that two pieces of vasdeferens will seek each other out and
Absolutely.
Try to reconnect. Could that be going on?
Not impossible, but the easiest way to tell that is through your sperm samples, man. You know, you just basically, you know, you rub one out into a cup and they look at it under the microscope. And if there's samples in there, then you're growing back together. I mean, if there's cells in there, you're growing back together. If not, then you're okay.
But I would wait until you get the stitches out.
Yeah. Yeah. You're way too early to even be worrying about that. But if you're having anything coming from the wound itself, you got to get your doctor to check it out. Okay.
Okay, so do I need to save it the next time it leaks and take him a sample?
Probably not, because it wouldn't be viable
at
that point.
They'll be able to look at it.
Yeah.
When he looks at it, or he or she looks at it, they'll know what it is when they see it. They'll have seen it 100 times before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you need to keep a sample of it. But if you get a fever or redness that's spreading up your body, then don't wait. Go after hours and get it checked out, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and just regular over-the-counter pain medicines and ice?
Yeah, you can take it, I think ice is great. And if you can...
Don't apply the ice directly to your ball sack, otherwise you could end up with frostbite of your balls. So you want to put something in between that or...
Yeah, just put it in. Put some crushed ice in a Ziploc and wrap it in a little towel.
Yeah.
And put it to it.
Okay.
Okay, man.
Well, hey, thanks, guys.
Listen, good luck. Let us know how it goes, okay?
Will do. Thanks for being on the radio.
All right, man.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. All right. Well, we need to take a break. 866-WOW1WOW is the number, 866-969-1969. This is Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine.
Some bloody mucusy discharge.
With Dr. Steve.
Testicular manslaughter by cattle decapitation. The bumper music is definitely fitting given a last segment that we did. All testes all the time on Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve and P.A. John. Phone number is 866-WOW1WOW, 866-969-1969, or you can email us at drsteve202@gmail.com. One thing I wanted to say, P.A. John, a lot of other medical shows, when you call in, they call you back. They wait till the next day and call you back, and then you're on the air. We're doing these things off the cuff. Remember, we are not your doctor, so verify everything with your doctor. Take our advice how you will. We'll do the best we can, and we'll just go from there.
Nothing beats going and actually seeing your physician.
And one of the things that we can talk about is how to talk to your doctor or other provider and get them to take your complaint seriously. That's one of the problems I see more and more every day when people call me or text me or email me on the internet, because I'm on all the message boards and stuff and I get questions. A lot of times the patients will say, I've talked to my doctor about this. They don't seem to be taking me seriously, and I actually have a serious problem. Well, a lot of times it's how they've approached the problem with their doctor. And, health providers are people too. And, sometimes you just have to approach it a certain way, and we can help you with that.
And it always helps to go into the room with what you want to ask them written out. Because if you can actually give them a list, give your PA or your doctor a list, or your nurse practitioner a list of what you actually want to know that day, it helps tremendously.
And a lot of doctors are probably, if they're any listening right now, they're cringing, because we all know those patients that come in with their lists.
Yeah.
But it really is a very effective way for patients to get out what they want to do. It's just like we have our list tonight, which we've completely thrown away because we've gotten so many phone calls tonight, which is awesome. We weren't really expecting this kind of response. And in that vein, let's go to Ron in Indiana. Ron, are you there?
Hello?
You're on Weird Medicine. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I got a question. My girlfriend's kind of adventurous, and her new thing she wants me to do is she wants me to lick her ass. And I'm kind of wondering what the dangers or what could happen to me or what's the worst-case scenario or if it's it's sanitary at all.
Sure. Well, it's absolutely not sanitary, but very little about sex is.
But it could be enjoyable.
It's true.
Depends on what kind of dressing you want to put on that salad before you start licking it.
Well, as long as don't listen to him for the rest of the show. If she doesn't have any communicable diseases, for the most part, the kinds of things that you can get from what we call the fecal-oral route, or in other words, from someone's rear end to your mouth, are things like hepatitis A, so she's okay there. But then there is this problem with E. coli and other bacteria like that. I mean, there are a lot of bacteria there that you can be exposed to. I think just give it a try, and if you don't get sick, you're gold.
Yeah. But you can also place saran wrap between you and the person, and you can try it that way.
Or a dental dam. You can do that if you're really particular about it.
Might take the mood away, but...
We are getting so many testicle questions. I guess we need to take another one. Adam in Ohio.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm only 27 years old, and I have this this... like kind of growth on my right testy. It's not like a lump like a zit, but it's more like a kind of a when you get scratched and it like breaks the skin, it kind of leaves a long kind of, you know, like raised bump.
Yes.
Should I be worried about cancer with that? I've had a physical and my doctor didn't say anything about it, but like I'm always still worried about that.
Has your doctor looked at it? Have you showed it to him or her?
Not like specifically, but he did give me a physical, like a physical that
sure. Let me ask you something. You say it's on the testes. Is it actually on the scrotum, or is it on the skin of the
side? It's actually on, like, excuse my language, the ball.
Okay, so it's under the skin where you can move.
It feels like it's on the actual testy, and it's like a long kind of, like if you had scratched and it drew, like a cat scratch.
Yeah.
And then it, like, raised up afterwards.
Okay.
That's what it feels like. And it's been there for about a year.
Okay.
And there's no signs of it going away.
Most of these things like this are not anything to worry about. However, having said that, I want you to get this checked out, okay? If you can take the skin of the scrotum and slide it over this thing and it stays stationary on the nut itself, then it absolutely needs to be checked out. Now, this could have been, you could have some scar tissue there from some vigorous sex, or you may have run into a table at some point and hit your nut, but you may, and it may just be scar tissue, but I definitely want that to get checked out. And they can do an ultrasound that will pretty much diagnose it in a couple of minutes. And it's a real simple procedure. It's a little embarrassing to whip your nuts out and have somebody put jelly on it. And then this, how would you describe that thing? It looks like a microphone kind of that they run over your nuts, but it's not painful. It's an easy procedure. Highly recommend. I would definitely get that checked out, man, okay?
Okay, well, can I have a second question real quick?
Yeah, sure, if it's quick.
My question would be, like in any other place in your body, how would you determine cancer? Like, would it be, like, a large lump, like a large, like, hard lump, or is it, you know, just anything that's not there before?
Dude, that's pretty much the thing. If you have... a lump that wasn't there before, definitely get it checked out.
Anything that's odd.
You know, if you hear a weird sound in your car, you're going to, at some point, check it out. And if you don't, it's at your peril.
Yeah.
Because something's going to break down in your car. It's the same thing. If you've got a weird lump someplace, y'all, just please get it checked out.
Yeah.
And don't fart around with that, because that's really important, and I want you guys to live a long time. I've got Harold in Bridgeport has got an interesting question. Harold, are you there? Oh, boy.
Excellent, Harold.
Hey, Radio Shark. That was a delightful question. And it was a good question to the bastard.
Yeah.
He was calling about sleep disorders, which we need to talk about at some point tonight. Let's see. How about Les? Les from Trucker, or Les the Trucker. Okay, I get it. When I sneeze, I get something going on. What's going on, Les?
You there? Yeah, I had a coughing spasm real bad, and I had a lot of pressure in my sinus area, and now is what happens is whenever I sneeze or cough, I get real bad nosebleeds. It gushes blood real bad.
Yeah.
I have a hard time getting it to stop. I'm just wondering, could I burst a blood vessel in my sinus passages somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it the tissue in the very front of the nose is more friable or a lot thinner than any of the tissue. So you actually make sure your nose doesn't start bleeding now. You probably did break a blood vessel, and if you're having a lot of these, then you probably need to have, again, go see your doctor. They can actually ablate these blood vessels with cauterization.
Jargon alert. Ablate.
Well, okay. They can get rid of this by frying it with an acid. How about that?
Okay,
or sticking a hot metal...
Well, don't scare the guy to death. It's not that bad. You basically, they go in and they can numb you up and they can take care of the problem pretty easily. It's real easy to look up into the nose and see where the bleeding is coming from. If it's obvious, ear, nose, and throat. Let your family practitioner take a look at it or your internist. And if they can't help you, then they'll usually send you to an ear, nose, and throat guy. Now, if you're having bleeding that won't stop, that's a whole nother problem, and that's actually a medical emergency. If you're just gushing blood and it will not stop, I would go to the emergency.
Yeah, I would give it no more than 20 minutes.
The easiest way to stop these, of course, is just put your head back and apply pressure.
Lean forward and apply pressure right on the bridge of your nose.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you pinch your nose closed, and you'll form a good blood clot. That should help.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Montana. Bob, are you there? You're on Weird Medicine. Bob? Okay.
Bob.
Okay, Bob's driving. Bob's gone. He's driving. Bob, call back. How about Chris in Kentucky? Chris, are you there? It sounds like the same guy.
Chris and Bob are on there.
Hello. Chris.
Hey, how you doing,
there
gentlemen?
You go. Okay, man.
Hey, good.
Dr. Steve, I've got this. I hate to change gears after all this other talk, but I've got this weird, I don't know if I call it a skin condition, and let me just tell you all I can without rambling too much, hopefully.
Sure. Give us the Reader's Digest version.
I'm sorry?
Give us the Reader's Digest version.
Right. Oh, exactly. Since at least puberty, pretty back as far as I can remember, I've noticed no pattern to it whatsoever as far as eating, time of day, exposure to any kind of different soaps or anything. I'll just get a regular little itch, you know, like you do, reach over and scratch my arm, and it keeps itching. And I'll start tearing it up, and I'll get, like, this patch. It varies from, like, the size of a couple silver dollars up to, like, elbow to shoulder area. And it's just, like, welts on top of welts in this red rash, and it itches like the dickens. And I scratch the hell out of it, try not to, and, like, maybe, like, 20 minutes later, it's completely gone. And I scratch hard enough, there should be marks. I should have broke the skin, but I don't.
Yep.
And, like, within, like, 30 minutes, it's completely dissipated. And I've had it happen on arms, legs, sometimes, you know, a couple times a week. Sometimes I'll go a couple months without it.
Does it ever occur anywhere that you can't reach?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does it ever occur anywhere that you can't reach? In other words, in a part of your body that you can't reach?
Middle of your back, that's what
not really. It's usually, you know, fairly reachable.
Okay.
And I've noticed that it doesn't spread. Like, if my left leg's doing it, I'll scratch it, and then I'll touch my right arm for something, and it doesn't necessarily spread. Very seldom.
Okay. A lot of times, what you may be looking at, if it's in, it never occurs in a place that you can't reach, there's a thing called neurodermatitis, and this is a weird form of a skin itching syndrome that it may be caused by nerve endings that are firing. It may be caused by anxiety. It can be caused by a lot of different things, and it's characterized by intense itching. You scratch and scratch and scratch until and sometimes people will get into this almost crazed situation where they're so itchy that they'll just dig gouges out of their skin. And there are some medications. There's an antidepressant, and I'm not recommending that you try this, okay? But I want you to talk to your doctor about it. But there is an antidepressant called doxepin that is one of the most powerful anti-itch agents out there, and it works real well. You may just be having, there are some people that have sensitive skin that if you scratch it a little bit, you'll actually get hives, and it may simply be that. And that's a hard one to deal with, and again, a dermatologist could help you with that.
Yeah, so you may end up having to have a skin scraping where the dermatologist will be able to look at that under a microscope to see if there's any other thing going on, but yeah.
All right, Jerry from Cincinnati, are you there?
Hey,
why do I say that every single time? I got to come up with something else to say when I take a phone call, is
hello?
Other than, are you there? Yeah, Jerry, go ahead. I'm just rambling because I'm an idiot. This is the first time I've ever been on radio.
That's allowed on this station. I'm just wondering, my girlfriend's into golden showers.
Okay.
And she's been asking me to urinate inside of her while we're having intercourse.
Okay.
And I'm really
she's a goer.
Hesitant, and I'm just wondering if this is if there's any major concerns as far as, you know, some sort of infection or... If it can be done and then douche afterwards, and that'll be fine.
Are you otherwise healthy?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and are you diabetic?
No.
Okay, then here's the thing. Urine is sterile.
Very sterile.
It's
should be
normal.
Very sterile.
Normal urine is cell-free. It's just basically ultra filtration byproducts of you know, body metabolism, and it's mostly water. It's got some other chemicals in it, and you can pee freely.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of any downside to that as long as you're healthy and don't have any infections. And you know, other than it may now it, there may be a change in the bacterial counts in the vagina because of that, and
then
we may be back to what we were at the beginning with bacterial vaginosis.
Yeah.
I don't know of any study that shows that there's a relationship between the two. If there's a GYN or a gynecologist out there, a urologist that knows better, have them feel free to call in. But I think you're okay with
yeah,
that
I would
one.
Say go for it.
All right.
Oh, excellent.
Another John from Colorado.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, man.
Hey, look, I got a problem. I've been receiving oral sex from my girlfriend, and first time she asked me if I wanted a prostate massage.
Okay.
She stuck her finger up my ass. I didn't know what was coming until I started coming.
Right.
I've been doing it more often, and now it's gotten to the point where I can't come unless she does it.
Okay.
Does that make me gay?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is, you know, some people think that the prostate is the male G-spot, and I think that was just such an intense stimulation for you that, you know, you've come to
enjoy
need
it more
yeah,
than just
it.
Regular ejaculation.
I mean, everybody has these stimuli that they require to achieve an orgasm, and now you've sort of programmed yourself to have this stimulation, and you're absolutely, I mean, you're doing it with a chick, right? So you're absolutely not gay. Not that that makes you a bad person if you were. Let's talk to Ray the Trucker. Ray, welcome to Weird Medicine.
Hey, how's it going tonight, Dr. Steve?
Good, man.
Hey,
little nervous, but we're doing okay.
Yeah. Genital warts.
Yes.
And I had a doctor get some of them off. They froze them off, and she didn't get all of them. I got a female doctor. That's why I say she. But when I said something at the physical this year about, you know, there's three others you didn't get, she's like, well, get that Dr. Scholl's wart remover, which is a freezing product, but it says in all the instructions, don't use it on genital warts.
Right. Yeah, I'm in favor of some other things for genital warts, and there are some preparations that are particularly made for genital warts, and one of them is a medication called Imiquimod, and you can apply it yourself, your doctor can prescribe it for you. If they're not familiar with it, it's also called Aldera. There's also a medication called Condilox that you can use. I think the reason that you shouldn't use those over-the-counter preparation is because they can really be pretty caustic to the scrotum. As you know, the scrotum is pretty sensitive, and just putting a caustic substance on there can be a problem.
Yeah, the
so.
Tissue could end up scarring, so definitely I would be a little leery of doing the over-the-counter preps on that.
Now, yeah, the I was just looking here. I had some stuff on that, but the Aldera is real easy to do. You apply it. They'll give you a schedule for applying the stuff, and it's a real simple, quick procedure. You do it yourself. The problem with condyloma or genital warts is that they are viruses. It's caused by the human papilloma virus, and viral particles are even smaller than bacteria, so you can't always get the all of the growing warts before they come. You won't be able to see them. Now, one thing that you can do that's kind of fun, my definition of fun may be different than yours, is to take a little white vinegar, put it on a white hand towel and wrap it around your schlong, and then let it sit there for about 5 minutes. And when you take it off, all the really white areas are oncoming genital warts, and they'll turn a real bright white. It's called aceto white reaction, and you can apply the chemical to that. But I'd go back to your doctor and say, I'm not real comfortable using this over-the-counter stuff. I really want to try to use the prescription stuff. Do you mind writing me a prescription? Does that sound okay, man?
Every time I go to her, she finds something good to send me into a bunch of tests over, so, you know.
Well, okay. That's a whole other issue. And I think you're free to talk to your doctor about that, too.
Yeah, find another doctor.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. I had another question about hernia repairs. Are you familiar with those at all?
Naval hernia repairs.
Umbilical hernia repair, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. What's the question?
I had a major one, which was repaired 5 times now. And
okay.
I've got the Gore-Tex pad with Mylar over the top of that, tucked under both ribs, and now it's coming loose. Any idea? You know, I went to a specialist. He looked at it, and he's going, well, I don't really want to do anything until, you know, your intestines are laying on your kneecaps.
Yep. I understand that. Actually, John's wife used to do this procedure, and It's one of those things that when you have a recurrent hernia, it gets harder and harder every time to repair it. And they do, once you've had it five times, man, they basically want your guts to be falling out before they go in there again.
And then sometimes at that point, they still won't do it because it's, again, a high risk of failure. So
yeah, we found that information on the Aldera. You put it on at bedtime for 3 days, and then you rest for 4 days. It's really easy to do. And Condilox, you apply that twice a day for three consecutive days, and then you discontinue it for 4 days. Now, the Condilox is a little bit more of an intense reaction and actually causes some destruction of the tissue around it, but it heals up normally, and you really should end up with very little disfiguration after it's over with. It is kind of interesting, John, that there have been some studies that showed that patients who have genital warts are at higher risk for other diseases.
Right.
And one of those is head and neck cancer. Now, that's a devastating disease, and if you have genital warts and have oral sex, you can actually end up with your partner having a higher risk for head and neck cancer.
Transmitting it.
Right. High lifetime number of oral or vaginal sex partners, which is defined as 26 or more, was associated with a higher risk of cancer. It was 3 to 1. So the take-home message for this is don't eat cauliflower.
Yeah.
You know, that's
another food reference.
Yeah, another food reference. We're full of food references tonight. The genital warts kind of look like the really big ones look like fungating chunks of cauliflower. And it's human papillomavirus. At least we know where it's coming from,
right,
and we can do something about it. Cervical cancer is basically a sexually transmitted disease.
Correct.
I mean, the women get human papillomavirus from their partner, and then the human papillomavirus will cause a non-symptomatic genital warts that may not be able to even be visible with the naked eye, and then over time cause changes in the cervix that can lead to cancer. So this is something that can be picked up easily on a pap smear, and get your pap smears every year. Here's why, PA John. If the pap smears 30% of the time will be negative, in other words, will show no changes even when there are cellular changes.
Yeah.
So if you get your pap smear done every 3 years, you may be 10 years down the road before they pick up the change. And then it's too late, because cervical cancer takes about 10 years. It's very slow growing cancer. Whereas if you have your pap smear done every single year, without fail, it is highly likely that this precancerous condition will be picked up, easily treatable in the doctor's office without surgery or without significant surgery. And sometimes they can do it just by freezing the area. Other times they use an electrified wire to cut out the area. It's really easy, mostly painless, a little globby afterward, but not too bad. Definitely worth the going through, because the risk of not doing it is really high.
Benefits definitely outweigh the risk on that one.
Absolutely. How are we doing on time, Danny? We doing okay? Okay. Let's go to Rick in Arizona. He's got a problem that we haven't talked about yet tonight. I'm being sarcastic. Go ahead, Rick.
How you doing, Dr. Steve? Thanks for doing this, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Happy to do it. I hope we haven't spread too much.
I hope you're doing this at least twice a month. I hope keep you guys on.
Thanks, man.
The question I have for you is this. I'll try and make it very short, brief. I have two questions.
Yes.
The first one is about nuts.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I played high school lacrosse.
Yes.
And I went for the stupid little physical, and the doctor, filled your nuts. Well, I've got like a third nut.
Okay.
That has always been there.
Yep.
And you know how you can just, when you're feeling your nuts, you put a little pressure on it, it hurts.
Yes.
Well, the third nut, you do the same thing, it hurts.
Yes. Okay.
You know, just like a regular nut.
Yep. Is it
I'm
above
38 years old now.
Okay.
Could I be, do I need to be concerned about that, or just let it ride?
How old did you say you are?
38.
You've gone 38 years with this thing. It is unlikely it's going to kill you, so that's the first thing. So I think that's most, I would put all kinds of money on that this is a completely benign condition. Is it above your other nut?
No, it's right beside it.
It's right beside
it. It's attached to it.
Well, here's the thing that I would do, just for your own fun sake, and then I do want you to see your doctor and have him take a look at it again, just to make sure, and just ask them, is this thing okay? Take a flashlight, and if you have a little pen light, that's even the best, and put it behind your nut and try to shine it through this third nut. And if it is a clear, fluid-filled sac, you'll be able to tell because it'll light up like a Christmas tree light.
Or like E.T.'s finger did.
Exactly. Right. Much better. Much better analogy. It'll look like E.T.'s finger. And if you see that, then it is a clear, fluid-filled sac called a hydrocele, and that's all it is. And you really don't have to worry about it. I do want your doctor to look at it. And if there's any question about it at all, again, they can do that testicular ultrasound, and they can tell right away what it is.
Okay.
You got a second question?
Yeah. The next question I have for you, I have like this, I had another physical last year, and it's like the doctor called it a strawberry, and it's right on my back.
Yep.
And it's not that big, but I was told, you know, you put a piece of thread around it or something like that, cut the circulation off, it eventually fall off, and that will be okay. It's bright red.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt unless if I, you know, if I scrape my back up against something and hit it, you know, or something like that, then it will hurt.
Okay.
It's called a hemangioma.
Yep. Yep. And it has a little tail on it, or is it what we would call sessile? Does it look like a dome blooming out of the skin, or does it have a little tail on it?
No, it's on the outside of the skin.
Okay. And it's flat? Or does it have a flat, broad base or a thin, narrow base?
No, it's like a small, oversized BB, I guess you could say.
Okay. So it's round. So it's spherical, and part of it is embedded in the skin. Yes. Do I have an accurate picture of it? Anyway, this is benign condition, and they call them cherry hemangiomas because they look like cherries.
Yeah.
Another food reference.
Excellent.
I'm making myself sick with all these food references. basically, those things are very easy to remove. They have a lot of blood supply. They're called hemangiomas because they're collections of capillaries, and they will bleed like stink if you just cut the thing. So if you want to have it removed, it's easy to have it removed. Otherwise, not unlike a ribbed condom, it could add pleasure to your partner. So if it's not bothering you, I'd leave it alone.
It's on his back.
Oh, it's on your back? I thought you said it was on your dick.
Yeah, it's on my back.
Oh, well, that won't add pleasure to anything. Okay, yeah, have it removed. Get rid of it.
You don't know what their sexual encounters are.
Somebody fucking my back or something?
Yeah, sorry, dude. I totally heard you wrong. Sorry. Yeah, you can have that removed or you can leave it alone. If it doesn't bother you,
could I do it myself with a
string?
You know, like a piece of thread?
You can.
You know,
can
blood supply?
Yeah, you can if you can get under it. That's the thing. If you can get it to actually strangulate it, you can do that. Your doctor's got easier ways to get rid of it than that, though. That takes several days, and then you've got dead piece of skin hanging off your back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the one thing I did do is the exam like 10 minutes ago. Thank God, everything just feels so smooth and so great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Excellent.
Man. Okay.
Excellent. We saved a life.
Listen,
there you go.
Hey, we appreciate you, man. We need to take a break. We're going to take a break, a real quick break, and we'll be back. 866-WOW1WOW. You're listening to Weird Medicine.
Hey, Dennis, this is the Midnight Rider, baby. And when I'm not riding rainbows or playing with the cutest of puppies, I'm listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve, Dennis, the finest of all self-help programs. That's right. I'm looking at you, Dr. Phil. I got one more. Silver dollar, and Dr. Steve and Weird Medicine is going to help me know what drugs to spend it on.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.